The New Testament reading for the morning is taken from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. In the New International Version, this chapter is titled Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of them says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous by what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Each year before the Christmas play, I would meet with the kids right before we got started, and I would say, you have nothing to be worried about or nervous because everyone in that sanctuary knows you and loves you. So I'm telling myself that right now. We have many choices to make throughout a day. Coffee or tea, paper or plastic, debit or credit. But as Christians, we don't have to choose faith or works. They go hand in hand. The debate over the question of whether salvation is by faith or by works has caused Christian denominations to disagree for centuries. Differences of opinion are still common among Christians today. In the passage that Bill just read for us, James is comparing two types of faith. Genuine faith, which leads to good works, and empty faith, which is not really faith at all. True faith is alive and backed up by works. False faith, that has nothing to show for it, is dead. The Apostle Paul stated clearly that man is justified or saved by keeping the law, not by keeping the law or doing works, but solely by faith in Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the book of James seems to say something different. James asserts that a person is justified or saved by works and not by faith alone. I recently had the opportunity to spend some one-on-one time with my dad, and he shared that James was one of his favorite books of the Bible. It is chocked full of wisdom, he declared. So he and I started down this path of faith versus works conversation. Salvation comes from faith, but when you are truly saved, when you know that you are God's, you are compelled to do good works. It isn't a matter of have to. It's a matter of want to, and sometimes even need to, when you feel that calling. When you have that calling of God on your heart, when you have received God's grace, and you know that His Son, Jesus Christ, is your Savior, You want to share that good news with the world. You have love for your fellow man, and you have compassion for your neighbor. Not a have to, but you want to help others. You want to give time to the food pantry. You want to serve dinner at Parkview. You want to go on a mission trip. You want to fix the porch of an elderly neighbor who can no longer do that for themselves. You want to serve your church in whatever capacity you're called to do. I am blessed to have grown up in a family with parents who mirrored what it looks like to be God's willing servants. I didn't hear them grumble about serving on church committees or taking 15 to 20 rowdy youth for a hike on a Sunday afternoon or to have Bible study in their home. So Dad and I talked, can you get to heaven without doing good works? He said, I don't believe you'd really want to. Some people grumble about a deathbed confession. He lived his whole life just for himself, just the way he wanted. And then at the last minute, he accepted Christ and got into heaven, which is just not fair. But I would submit to you that he missed an entire life of heaven on earth. He missed the joy of helping someone, of being the hands and feet of Christ. He missed the fellowship of a church family. It's not about sliding into heaven at the last minute, but about living the full life that God has in mind for you. Let's say I'm a member of the Y, but I don't go. I'm still a member of the Y, but I'm not reaping the benefits of my membership. See where I'm going with this? Being a Christian is, but not actively doing God's work, doesn't nullify your Christian status, but it's pretty close to James's description of empty faith. When you truly ask God to live in your heart and to guide your days, the desire to be of service is part of the package. It's a wonderful part of being a Christian. God calls us to be of service. Don't live a life of doing the bare minimum, or you'll rob yourself of years of joyful living. Feel God's love inside of you. Let it bubble up. Let it bubble out. Spread his love to everyone you come in contact with. The United Methodist Church says that all of the congregation is laity. On Laity Sunday, today, we celebrate the 24/7 priesthood of all believers. That includes each of us. Our bulletin says it, right on the back. Find the line where it says all of the members of Centenary. And then look to the right of that. It says ministers. It's right there. We're all charged with doing God's work. The United Methodist Church declared a theme over the next 4 years for Laity Sunday. I love that they do all that pre-planning. This year's is called Rise Up and Revive God's Gift. Now, as Christians, we've already received God's gift, but now it's time to revive it, to light that fire again. I want you to take a moment and remember back to the first person who introduced you to Christ. Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a youth leader? Your mother? Your father? A grandparent? Just take a moment and see that person in your mind's eye. Remember that person and how the joy of God's Spirit ignited you when they introduced you to Christ. Now, take a good look at yourself. Are you that person to anyone that you know of? Have you introduced anyone to Christ? Have you been a stumbling block, maybe? Or have you just been on the sidelines? Rise up and take that challenge today to be that someone to somebody. Be the one that has introduced someone to Christ. be someone that has shared the good news. You can play it safe and not cause anyone to turn away from the church, but that's just like the deathbed confession person. You'll miss out on a life of leading others to know the God that you serve, the God of grace. Can you imagine your life without God's presence? In this hurting world, you're rubbing elbows, well, at least coming within 6 feet of people who don't know the love of God or of the unconditional acceptance that he gives. Don't hide the good news. Don't just accept salvation and consider your heavenly passport stamped. It's not enough. Don't live a minimal life. They say go big or go home. Share God's abundance with someone today. Look around you and see the people in this hurting world and let them know, you need to know my God, and he is going to make an amazing difference in your life. Who wouldn't want to hear that? And there's so many people who don't know it, and we just assume that they do. Don't do that. Share God's love with someone. If God is calling you today, answer him with a yes and see how amazing your life can be as you do his work. As you do his work because you want to, and as you introduce others to him because you know that they need his grace, his love, and his acceptance. As the hymn says, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." So begin today to live the life that God has planned for you. Rise up and revive God's gift. With him in your life, there is nothing you can't do. Share the good news with others and live a life of joyfully doing his work. Amen.